Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Barely Bookish Podcast, the Barely Bookish Podcast. I don't know. It's been a second, but we're back. I was on a mini hiatus. Life was crazy. But we're back. We're better than ever. And we're going to talk about Wide Sargasso Sea, which is a book that we have read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
It happened.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad because it's like you were like hyping it up and I'm like, ooh.
You know, I was thinking to myself that there are certain books you read when you're a teenager and you're like, wow, this is really cool and insightful and like subversive. Mm-hmm. And then you come back to it as an adult and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What was teenage brain thinking? Teenage brain was roped in by the romanticism of fanfic. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it decided that this book was way better than it was.
Listen, I remember doing that with like movies where I'd be like, yeah, this is like the best thing I've ever watched, blah, blah, blah. And I haven't seen it in like 10 years and I go back and I'm like, oh my God. Like, do I need to write written apologies?
Right. I think there is a blanket amnesty for media that you consumed as a teenager and then revisit. Yeah. You don't, mm-hmm. like, you get a pass on it. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. we all made questionable decisions in our consumption. Some of it was great. Some of it was Wide Sargasso Sea. So here we are.
Here we are. Let's do, like, a little play-by-play, I guess, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's do
it. So, setting the scene, we got a family, no friends, everyone in town hates them. And I was like, okay... I don't think I was prepared for the amount of racism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, Jane Eyre glosses over it, as is understandable. Like, you know, it's a Victorian novel. They, you know, mm-hmm. racism doesn't exist for the Victorians. Mm-hmm. But it absolutely exists in the 1960s. And so, I mean, I think it makes sense that there is such a strong emphasis on... like trying to explore the racial themes of Bertha, but it is hard to get through.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I think I was thinking that they were implying that Bertha isn't fully white. In this, they were implying that she is white, but poor and used to own slaves. And now she's poor and doesn't, and everyone's making fun of them for it. And I was like, oh.
I mean, I think it's a very decidedly 20th century, like, flip of the narrative. Like, Bertha is other, and we know Bertha is mm-hmm. other in Jane Eyre. And it is, yeah, as you said, it is alluded to that she is of mixed race. In mm-hmm. this, it makes sense that, like, she is a colonial occupier in her own way. Her family mm-hmm. owned slaves. Like, there's no two ways about that, but we still have to make her like different from Mr. Rochester enough that he's willing to, you know, indulge his passions. And so it's that she's poor. It's that there's been a turn of fortunes, and this becomes as much class as it is race. And that is, mm-hmm. Jane Eyre is itself a classist, you know, there are elements of class distinction in there, but like this, really leans heavily into it while also being like also racism
mm-hmm.
all over the place.
I still feel like this book was very difficult to follow personally, like the writing wise. I was like, I don't think I understand what's going on 90% of the time.
I mean, there are major confusions where, like, just Bertha is not named Bertha. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. Her name is Antoinette. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. okay. I kind of get why we're making this distinction, like why Bertha mm-hmm. is a thing, because, you know, we need a mad woman in the attic. That's Bertha. But Bertha doesn't start as Bertha. Bertha is actually a fully actualized woman named Antoinette. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, like, her identity shifts and changes throughout this book until she becomes Bertha, the fully sort of insane woman I'm air quoting there that mm-hmm. we meet in Jane Eyre. But yeah, just the structure of it, you just are sort of thrown in there. I do think you need to have read Jane Eyre to have some sort of
yes,
conception of what's going on. And even having read Jane Eyre, that almost makes it more complicated, because there are, you know, we have our presuppositions. We know what happened in Jane Eyre. And so coming to this, it's like, yeah, all right, we're getting a retelling, but it is a very, like, we're getting flipped. We're getting flipped hard. And it is confusing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I was texting you because I'm like, I don't know whose birth was supposed to be. Like,
yep. Yep.
Because there's yep, like a lot of talk about her mom. And then like her mom is also named Antoinette. Or like.
Yep.
And I'm like, why? Why though?
At the very least, what the W.W. Norton edition published in, let's see. I have the book here. Published in 2016. 2016! What the W.W. Norton 2016 edition of this book could have used was a dramatis personae. Just, who are the people? Tell me who the people are so I can differentiate them. Because it is difficult without any sort of outside framework to know who all is in this family, who were there, who they used to own, who were the slaves they used to own. Who are the people in town? What's going on? Yeah.
So then her mom, like, oh, they keep calling Bertha a white cockroach, which I'm not going to lie to you, I thought was kind of funny. It made me giggle every time they said it. I won't lie to you there. So also one of my notes is, so they used to be rich, have a lot of slaves, but when emancipation happened, they now laugh at her. I'm not feeling bad. I'm not feeling bad for the slave owners. I know I'm like supposed to. I don't.
Correct.
Like, oh no, you are a terrible person. Crazy.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. You owned people. That's not okay. And I don't like if your fortunes, quote unquote, have declined as a result of the fact you don't own people anymore. Here's the sound of the world's smallest fiddle. Like, I just,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. You're a woman in a shitty society, but guess what? You benefited. You benefited hard, and now you're not benefiting from it anymore. Too effing bad.
Yeah. Because, like, the other thing, too, is you're looking at this as how the author, like, chose to tell the story. And you're like, you're really trying to make me feel bad that this person is poor because they no longer own people. Like, I don't, why are you trying to make me feel bad about that? Because I don't care. Like,
nope.
In fact, it's not a way to warm me up.
Nope. I appreciate the fact they no longer have people and maybe are suffering for it. I mean, did we talk a little bit about what is it, Jean Reese, what her background was? Like, did she have some connection to the Caribbean? I don't remember.
I texted you about it because I googled it. Let me go back through our messages because I don't fully remember, because I looked it up and it made it worse because I was like, you know.
Okay, yeah, so she's from Dominica. Which
but like she had a bunch of ex-husbands, I think, right?
Oh yeah. She had three husbands.
Nice.
One of them conveniently also named Jean.
That's weird, but okay.
Jean. His full name was Willem Johan Marie Jean Langlet. But, I mean, part of it has to be that if she's from Dominica herself, like, she has to be grappling with the fact that her family almost certainly owned slaves or were part of the, like, colonial institution, right? And so
I found somewhere someone said something that this was basically a self-insert story.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I was remembering, because I was like, there's another reason I googled this. And yeah, people were like, oh yeah, why it's Sargasso Sea. To make it even worse, self-insert fanfic. Right.
Yes. So I think she probably would feel sympathy for a white family that didn't have their slaves anymore. That probably happened to her family. You know? So, like, Now that being said, I don't know where her parents are from. So maybe they decided that Dominica was a lovely place to retire to in 1890. I don't know. But something tells me that her family has some deep connections to colonial slaveholding in Dominica. And so this may be, like, I got an impression that this is her trying to assuage some of her own feelings about it. Or because of her background, she just happens to be sympathetic to an unsympathetic position, or a sympathetic that I am on a position I am unsympathetic to, because I don't know.
Not a shitty person.
Right. I if I have ancestors who were slave owners, fuck them. I don't want to get into their heads. I'm not interested in that. You owned people. I don't care. Fuck you.
Literally. Anyway. Literally. I know. This was a bit of a rough ride, but you know, we're gonna get through it.
We're getting through it, you know. Listen, sometimes authors bring all of their baggage and show their whole ass pretty soon in the book, and Jean did that, bless her heart.
Yeah. Oh, and then people set fire to their family's house.
Slay. Shoot. Yep.
Her little brother dies, and then her mom goes into basically psychosis.
Yep.
Sound familiar? So, then she, like, gets married off to Rochester. He's like, I will love and protect you. And I'm like, that's rough.
Lies. But okay.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
So they're, like, in their marriage home. He randomly wanders off into the woods, sees, like, a little girl, and she just, like, sees him and screams and runs away. And I was like, okay.
I mean, to be fair, Rochester is a scary, ugly man. So, you know, that might be a normal person's reaction to seeing him out in the woods. I don't know.
And then, so this is the really rough part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Antoinette decides to go to her friend who practices witchcraft, voodoo, I guess.
Surprise.
And I'm like, oh my god, stop.
I don't know what the equivalent of Orientalism is, but that's what this is. Like, we are exoticizing indigenous and Afro-Caribbean religious practices. Ooh, yeah, the mysterious whatever this is. Uh-huh, great. Thank you, good.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, put it down. Put the pen down.
I feel like this trope was bored in the 1920s. Like, it was tedious then. It's still tedious in the 60s when you wrote this, Gene.
Yeah. Yeah. So she basically goes up to this lady and's like, hey, I need my husband to fall in love with me, aka I need him to sleep with me. And her friend's like, maybe don't do that. And she's like, I'm gonna do it anyways. So she, like, decides the way to make Rochester fall in love with her again is to rape him?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And so I think she, like, roofies this dude.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly is the concoction that he eventually gets hit with, but it's not good for him.
Pretty sure it's roofies.
And I'm pretty sure it's illegal in most states, if not all states.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, it's, like, textbook roofies. Like, she puts it in his drink, he drinks it, passes out, gets up, vomits everywhere. No control of limbs.
Nope.
So yeah, roofies her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a way to solve your problems, I guess. So prior to him, she picks up the roofies prior to him actually getting roofied. He then goes to talk to this dude named Daniel, and he's like, "Oh yeah. My mom used to be your wife's dad's slave, and then he raped his slaves, aka I'm born, he doesn't call me a son." And I'm like, Okay.
Right. Good. Okay. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then he's like, yeah, and she's terrible. So your wife's crazy and a horrible person. And like all Antoinette's doing is just kind of chilling. Like, I guess we have to look past the fact that she's about to rape her husband. Prior to that, though, she was just kind of chilling. She's not doing anything.
To her credit, I don't know if the word is credit, but I mean, the attempt is being made to deal with her situation. And I think that's ultimately like what all of this is exploring, is the power that she has as a woman. You know, Jane Eyre is a better feminist piece in a way than this is, despite it being significantly, you know, 100 years later. But like the ways in which she is able to exert agency is really, really limited and ends up revolving fully around sexuality and rape in this case. Whereas, I don't know, Jane does it differently. And so I get the exploration. I get the, like, we have to look at what agency women can have in like colonial Caribbean society and how that would be maybe even more limited than the agency a woman would have in England at this time. But it is truly hard to slog through, and like the sympathy that we're supposed to have for Antoinette has gone out the window with slaveholding hard times, and now we're committing sexual assault and rape on Mr. Rochester, our husband, and I don't remember this. Honestly, like, this was not in my brain. I was like, yeah, Bertha had such a hard time of it, and fucking Rochester, what a dick. And I'm rereading this, I'm like, okay, it is a complicated issue.
Yeah, it's funny, like, the things that, like, you pick out when you read this one, like, when you read things when you're younger, and they just kind of stick in your head. And you just remember those parts, and you've scrubbed the rest from your mind, because it wasn't important at the time. And now it's like, we're adults, and we read things more critically. So you're just like, oh my God.
Right. This is not the plot I wanted. No. No, this is bad. This is real bad.
It's like when you rewatch Peter Pan or stuff like that too, and you're like, ooh, that's a little messy, a little messed up. Wow.
# Captain Hook did nothing wrong.
Literally. This kid, like, actively bullied him and, like, tried to kill him on multiple occasions.
Yep. And he's kidnapping children and never letting them grow up to be their full potential. He just wants to, like, hang out on his ship with his pirate buddies and fuck it. Yeah. Love Captain Hook. Fucking Peter Pan. God damn it.
Yeah. # Captain Hook is hot.
True. Very, very true.
He's the actual hero of the story.
Even in Hook, he's not, which is the best Peter Pan adaptation. And yet, I mean, he's a little more sympathetic, but I want a wide Sargasso Sea of Peter Pan, but without rape and slaveholding.
Yep. There is a lot of ones from like Hook's point of view in a book. That option. Yeah. Lots of smut.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could get complicated. Okay. Is it pirate smut? Because that's, I feel like, the only acceptable thing going on here.
Yeah, no. So, like, one of my friends that's an author has a series of, like, different, like, childhood story retellings, but, like, adult romance. So it's, like, she's got a version of Peter Pan and Wendy, also a version of Captain Hook and Wendy, which is like, yeah, so you can choose your own adventure on that one, but then it's all like a multiverse thing. So like the main series is the main one is Peter Pan and Wendy, and then there's also Jack Frost, there's Hades and Persephone, because obviously. Yeah, there's a lot of them in there. Apollo, and I can't remember who Apollo's with. Yeah.
Probably a bunch of different people. I feel like the Greek gods, especially, they got around.
I mean, I think in this one it's singular, but I think she's got more reverse harems. I don't remember for sure.
Okay. That kind of reminds
me. It's called Wendy Darling. So
look it up.
Yeah.
I will look it up. It kind of reminds me of the Angela Carter collection, where she redid like Bluebeard and Beauty and the Beast. What's that fucking book called? It's very good. It's on my shelf. And that one is good because I have reread it recently. Bloody Chamber. Have you read Bloody Chamber?
No.
You should read Bloody Chamber. It's very, very good. I think you would like it.
Okay. I'll have to read it. I've been meaning to read Hooked too, because I've heard that's really good.
What is Hooked? What's that about?
Captain Hook?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking this up.
Yeah.
It's been on my list.
Oh yeah, I read this. Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just building your smut collection for you. You're welcome.
Appreciated.
Yeah. I actually have Pride and Prejudice smut that I've been meaning to read forever. It's called Darcy Takes a Wife. I was recommended it. So
anything Jane Austen related, be it smut or non-smut, is of interest to yours truly. So
apparently, starting I think today, there's like a whole Jane Austen mini series situation going on the Hallmark Channel that's all modern day retellings.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I love a Hallmark. I love a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Firmly established. Sense
and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, and I don't know the other ones. I just found out about this last night because I had a guest on that told me about it. Or I went on their podcast. Mm-hmm. She told me about it. So.
I know exactly what I'm doing after we drop this call.
I know. I just remembered about it, and now I'm like, oh my god, I'm supposed to be recording those. Okay. Back to the not great book.
The not great book, yeah.
Yeah. So Daniel's like, I'm doing this because I'm mad at my dad. And Rochester's like, okay, could you not keep shit-talking me and my wife? That'd be cool. He's like, you have to pay me a bunch of money then. And Rochester's like, I'm not going to do that.
No.
Like, if someone's like, I'm just going to keep talking smack about you unless you pay me like $1,000. I'd be like, enjoy.
Right. Keep talking smack. Go for it, bud.
Yeah.
Don't care.
There's not much you could say that I haven't heard. So, enjoy. Well,
you are not Antoinette, and you don't have the sordid past that will ruin Mr. Rochester. Come on. Come on.
Like, literally, her past is, hey, your mama's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. And
you, like every other white person in this book, were a slave owner. So,
and the slave owners had relations with their slaves. They raped them. What a surprise. Yep.
Yeah, shocking.
Shocking. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every person knows this.
Mm-hmm.
Every person knows this.
And they're like, oh yeah, crazy. Anyways. And Rochester's like, okay, well, you have a good day then, I guess. I'm going to leave now. So then Antoinette's like, yeah, my mom wanted to kill Mr. Mace. So basically, Rochester and Antoinette sit down after this. And he's like, I just talked to your brother. And she's like, my brother's dead. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he's like, Daniel, your brother. And she's like, that dude is not my brother. Like, I don't know why he keeps telling people that. But... And then, like, Antoinette makes it worse because I think she implies that, like, the mom was sleeping around so it could be anybody's kid. And I'm like, oh, girl. No.
Stop digging, Antoinette. Stop digging.
Yeah. Antoinette just does not care about this dude at all. And she's like, yeah, my mom wanted to kill Mr. Mason because he wouldn't let us leave Jamaica. So... And, like, no one will let this family leave Jamaica for some reason. Nope. No one will let them go anywhere.
Apparently they're nailed to the ground. Impossible to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she's like, yeah, Mr. Mason then sent my mom to go like live elsewhere, implying that she was like living with slaves, I guess. And they are supposed to be taking care of her, but they're like actively raping her. And then like Mr. Mason would also send people there to rape her. I'm like, what?
Uh-huh. This was a weird, I don't know where Jean came up with this, but
no.
Like she's taking the, I need to give my characters a tragic backstory to mm-hmm. like a truly unsavory extent. Like it is
mm-hmm.
very difficult.
Like, you know when, like, emo kids try and write, like, something really tragic?
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, like, my parents died in a car accident, and I had to raise myself on the streets, and mm-hmm. blah, blah, like, that's the kind of energy we're getting here.
Big, big emo kid energy, yes.
Yeah. Like, she's trying to think of, like, everything that's, like, off the table when you're writing as, mm-hmm. you know, a white person. And she's like, let me just throw it in my book.
Right. She's just like, let me throw that in the pot and see how it tastes.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know. What other things am I not supposed to write about that I don't understand and, you know, can't be right. prevalent and careful about? Let me just throw that in there.
Do I need to do research? Nah.
Nah.
I'll just put it in. It's fine.
Whatever. Why would I care about other people's feelings? That's crazy. Nope.
No one will notice. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Ma'am. She's like, it's fine. I mean, me and my 3 ex-husbands are going to just...
yep. Oh my god.
So then we get revealed that he won't call her Antoinette because it's her mom's name.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I like the name Bertha, so you're Bertha now.
You're Bertha now. Uh-huh.
It's like when you take a dog home and you're like, man, the name they gave you at the shelters kind of sucks.
Why did they call you Hamburger? You're Felix now. Here you go.
So now we get to the point where she decides to drug and rape her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like wakes up after being both drugged and raped, and then like takes their servant outside and like bangs her outside her window. He like basically opens Bertha's window, puts an intercom system for her there,
right.
takes the servant outside and they bang as loud as possible. And it seems like it was implied multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I'm just like, what? Like, I mean,
so we know what she's into, I guess. Right? Like, yeah, well, where
I guess
I understand what, like, plot wise that we are looking at a complete breakdown and two mm-hmm. and a very immature two very immature people at the end of the day, mm-hmm. but like
mm-hmm.
the extent to which she like lays out what Rochester is doing is
yeah
is impressive.
Like, Jesus Christ, dude. You'll love my next note though. It says,
yeah,
he's been very comfortable cheating on his wife since the beginning.
Yes. Of course, classic Rochester move.
I don't fucking care. Like, ah. It's just my wife. She's upstairs, you know, in the attic. What? She's not in the attic yet? She will be. She will be. It's no problem.
Soon.
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 So then he's like, calls the cops up, basically. He's like, hey, my wife's only single friend in this town is into voodoo. Do you want to arrest her? And then the white people are like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Totally do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Antoinette absolutely, like, you know, wakes up to the sounds of her husband cheating on her. and mm-hmm. she decides to get blackout drunk, which,
yeah,
what else are you to do? You know, box dies hard to come by on such short notice, so. So she's like, I actively heard you. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. But then he's like, crazy. What? You heard me bang our servant? That's so weird.
Wild.
Yeah, crazy. And then she's like, did you fully just marry me to steal all of the money that I got from my stepdad? And he goes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And?
Right. Okay. Correct, yeah. And
I'm like, all right, sounds good. Glad we established that then. So Christophine's like trying to salvage this. This is her only friend, by the way. Mm-hmm. Christophine. Yep. She's like, let me salvage this for a moment. You know, let me go take her and I'll like make her better. Like, let me just take her away for a bit. And he's like, no. And then she's like, what do you mean? Like, you know, her mother was forced into madness. Like, if she continues on this way, like, she'll also be forced into madness. Like, you broke her soul. Let me just take her away. If you don't love her, you don't care about her, like, I'll just take her and we'll go leave you alone. And he's like, you're only doing this because you want half of my money. And she's like, bro, what? Like, let me go help my friend. And he's like, no. So then he kidnaps her.
Classic.
He like tells Christophine, he's like, I'm calling the cops right now. Leave. They don't have phones, but he's like, I'm sending a carrier pigeon to the cops.
Right.
They're on their way.
They will be informed.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll leave, whatever. Like, probably realistically hoping this dude's gonna calm down and she can sneak back in and steal her friend. But he immediately leaves. He draws the house of, like, where he's gonna put her in the attic on a napkin.
Yep. Premeditated.
Premeditated. I'm like, oh, okay. So then she's officially locked up. Grace yep. Poole is some rando alcoholic.
Right. We randomly get Grace Poole. They're just like, whom can we find who will work for cheap and knows how to punch people? Oh, yeah, this alcoholic. Yeah. Let's grab her.
Like, I'm just imagining that they're like going to the bars and they're like trying to find the most trash person there. I'm like, hey, you want a job?
Right. They're like, all right. That one looks like she's about to hit someone with a pool cue and a back tattoo. All right. Yep. Come on. Let's go, Grace Poole.
They're like, we got liquor. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. And then Grace Poole's like sitting there and sitting on a bed like next to her, getting wasted. And yep. Antoinette just like waits until she falls asleep, and then she just takes her keys and walks around the house. So I'm like, girl, why didn't you leave?
Yeah, you. Well, this is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she trapped. And it's not just Rochester mm-hmm. trapping her. Society yeah. is trapping her. She has yeah. no, I mean, if like, what is she going to do? This is the same question we asked of mm-hmm. Jane. Like, mm-hmm. what is she going to do? She does yeah. like she has one option, and it's be locked in an attic.
Rob him blind.
Well, there's Leave. A good option. Become a pirate queen. Steal a ship.
Literally.
Take to the sea.
That's what I'm saying. What else are you to do if not steal man money? Go pirate queen. Like, it's right there.
It is right there.
It's but, always you know. In the cards.
I guess she just didn't get the right she didn't have the breadth of vision to go pirate queen.
Yeah, like, I respect Bertha for just being like, you know what, I'm gonna go feral. What a why yeah. not?
I mean, when your options are to just like hang around in an attic, then yeah, going feral is its own sort of escape from it. You can stay yeah. where you are and just be an absolute fucking menace, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know what? You're Iconic. Not locked in. I'm not locked in here with you, Mr. Rochester. You're locked in yeah. here with me.
Yeah. See, okay. So then Mr. Mason shows up and Grace was like, why'd you pull a knife on him? And she's like, he literally was like, I'm not gonna take you home, I'm gonna just leave you here. And she's
like, he could have done something, chose to do nothing, so I knifed him. And you know what? Fair.
As you should, honestly. Right.
Your Honor, legitimate. Self-defense, quite frankly.
Self-defense. So, yeah, basically, Bertha's just, like, teleporting through time. She has no idea what's going on. She's like, I've been locked in this attic for an unforeseen amount of time.
Yep.
And then she's like, they don't let her have a mirror for some reason. So she doesn't know what she even looks like. Like, they've kind of kept her, like, real dirty. And she, mm-hmm. like, has to kind of sneak out to bathe, it sounds like. Like, they gave her a pot to pee in, and that was it.
It's not like Grace Poole is a model of hygiene. So,
yeah.
She's not giving Bertha a bath.
Yeah. And then she dreams of her own death, and then she decides to commit it. And I was like, yep. Go off.
All right.
That's how the book ends.
The book ends with her being like, yeah. Let's burn it all fucking down.
Yeah. Which, like, respectable.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say, this is not my Bertha. Personally. I feel like someone can do better.
So this was one of my major questions as I was reading through this. And, like, as we were talking, it is very much a fanfic before fanfic was a thing. So now, in the age in which we live, of fanfic being normal and prevalent and everywhere, how would you do it, is my question. Like, if you were going to rewrite White Sargasso Sea to be good and interesting, two things it is not, how would you do it?
Okay. Here's what I would do. Scrub all the racism. Okay, we know it's there.
Yeah.
We don't need it. Throw that out in the garbage. That can't be her entire backstory. I would do hot girl prize of her town meets Rochester, falls in love with him. Maybe she's a little gullible, falls in love with him. Strong-willed, like, very independent woman. And then he's like, ooh, I don't actually really like your independence and way of thinking. Locks her in the attic. She loses it. Kills him.
That's a better book.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, like, I don't think if I were to do it, I would. I mean, the majority of the book is her backstory before she gets to Thornfield. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the right move, because once you're in the attic.
Yeah.
Like, the sort of stream of consciousness that we get to, and the sort, like, the delirium of where am I, when am I, like, that's fine, actually. Like, the sort of bit when she's confined in the attic is the most interesting part of the book to me. Because I think she's really making an attempt to explore the madness of Bertha, because it's questionable, even in Jane Eyre. It's questionable if Bertha is actually insane or if this is a cynical thing that Rochester has done. I mean, ultimately, she kills herself and burns the house down. And the extent to which you need to be sane, quote unquote, to commit suicide, that's a different discussion. But the beginning of this book is so steeped in, like, the racism and misogyny that it's like, we're trying to be so over the top and grotesque about it to be like, to explain what eventually happens. And I don't think you need that excessiveness to explain why Bertha ends up the way she does. Like, there are some things I really like about this book. I like the idea that Bertha is not her name. Like, I like the idea that that is an imposition from Rochester, that like this is, there are these moments where he exerts his power in a very like traditionally feminist critique way. I like that. I like having Rochester be a misogynist bad guy. And he is racist too. Like, he ultimately is like, oh, you have mixed ancestry at some point. We can't be married. You know, this isn't going to work. If, like, that's really when he shuts down almost. But I love the idea of looking at this through a lens of, like, Bertha doesn't need to be poor. Like, she doesn't need to have this tragic backstory. It's even worse if she's got everything going for her, and then this guy just comes in and fucking ruins everything, right? Like, that's more tragic to me than, like, all of the, I don't know, clusterfuck of things that go wrong for her.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, she's educated-ish, she's smart, she's beautiful, she's in the top of society, she has everything going for her, and then her family and Rochester's family, like, maneuver things so that she gets put in this disadvantageous situation with a ugly, repulsive, mean-spirited, cruel man. Like, that's far more tragic, and I think could make for a far more interesting backstory / fanfic than what we had with White Sargasso Sea.
Next on my retelling writing journey. My goal is to honestly do a reimagining at some point, so, like, write one just for funsies.
I think you should.
I think I should.
So, was there any part of this book that you liked?
I feel like there's a lot of ideas I could have liked had they been done better.
Okay.
I did like seeing her like spiral.
Yeah.
But it's like, it just, that wasn't, I feel like they set her up not to be someone I should care about in the beginning. And then it's like, I don't really care enough that she went into madness. Like let's look at Antoinette in this.
Yes.
She used to be a slave owner. She's mad at people that used to be her slaves for bullying her. She rapes her husband.
Yep.
And now here we are. I'm like, I can't, there's not really anything you did that was like good and redeemable. Like, she just kind of, I don't know, like, she floated through life and just wasn't happy in any part of it. Like, it, I feel like it would have been more soul-crushing for me if she had, like, a great family life and, you know, her mom ends up being very distraught. Like, if you still keep, because in the original Jane Eyre, mom still goes crazy.
Yep.
If you just kept that part of me, like, her brother died, her mom loses it, checks out.
Right. I'd be her, like, her, and her awful. Brother doesn't have to die in a house fire as a result of the family formerly owning slaves. Like, people just die. You know, and people just dying can be enough to trigger, like, very profound feelings of remorse and despair that can be interpreted as madness in that society. So, like, yeah, absolutely. The building blocks are strong. Like, the what we get in Jane Eyre about Bertha is a very strong foundation for a retelling. Like, I get why she chose to do this. I get why she wanted to explore this, because Bertha is a fascinating character. She, like, she's a really, really interesting force in Jane Eyre, and she's so mysterious. Like, we get so little about her, but we get these little clues that are, that tantalize, and you're like, ooh, I do want to know more. But then, like, this is your explanation for it. It's not satisfying. I think that, and that's my biggest problem with it, is that it satisfied me as a teenager. I was like, oh yeah, this all makes sense, this explains what's going on with her, but, like, reading back, I don't actually know that it does. Like, and that's the thing that I think bothers me the most about this book, is that the the issues that are being brought up and the ways in which her backstory is being presented make her less sympathetic than she is in Jane Eyre. You know, they make her, I don't know if we're going to say that she's more complicated, but she is less interesting as a person, which is crazy when you think about how this book is her supposed to be her story. It is fully realizing her, quote unquote, as a human being. And I don't think it does it well. And I don't think it does it in an interesting way. I stand by the fact that Bertha is a far more interesting character in Jane Eyre, even though she's almost never in it. But the stuff that we do get about her is fascinating.
I'm thinking of some really tantalizing reimaginings right now. If I ever have time. The other one.
Take those notes. Don't let them go out of your brain.
Like, imagine the after Jane Eyre series. Like, does Rochester do this more? Is he just a serial cheater that likes to lock women up in attics? Crazy.
I'm now picturing a Kill Bill type scenario where Jane busts out and goes vampire and just starts murdering.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like someone has to have done it better. And I need that. I need that. Because, like, I'm imagining in my brain Bertha being just, like, the shit. Like, in Jamaica. Right.
Yes.
Hot girl. Could have anybody. Chooses Rochester, who she thinks is, like, kind and he's interesting and he's, like, a little gruff around the edges. And people don't think he's very handsome. Everyone says, oh, she's marrying down. You know, that's what I'm leaning towards.
Right, and that's interesting. He's not from around here. He is, the thing about Rochester is he is charming in his own way. And, like, what I think you can also do is you can explore why he becomes such a shit. Like, is he that way all the time? Or is there something that happens that he's hurt somehow? And then he turns into, like, that influences him to behave in the way he does towards women. I think either option works. I think he can start off as a kind person and we can watch him. We can watch his fall, and that makes it tragic. Like, that makes it even more tragic. If you've got these two people who end up being wrong for each other, and like that is an interesting story. But Bertha and Rochester were never right for each other in this book.
Yeah.
Like, and that's tragic, but it's not a tragedy. Like, I don't feel such remorse. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for Bertha because no one should be locked in an attic. You know, like, regardless. The things that she did in her life don't rise to the fact that she spends the rest of her life in an attic. But.
But I could feel worse for her.
I could feel much worse. Right, exactly. Yep. Now,
like, I should feel, like, I feel kind of bad, but, like, if I found out a woman was trapped in the attic that I never even knew the backstory of, I'd be like, oh my God, like, that's horrifying. And I feel like I would feel worse for this unknown stranger than I feel for Bertha, who I know the entire backstory of. And I shouldn't feel like that.
Right. And I mean, so. I think personally, you know, we both read Jane Eyre first before we read White Sargassacy. There is a horror that you get when you realize that Bertha is in fact locked in an attic. Like, the scene where he rolls in and is like, here is my wife, is terrifying. It hits your gut. It's like, oh my God, this man has had a person locked in his attic. You feel horrible for Bertha. The things that she does make sense. But then, yeah, you go back and now I'm like,
yeah,
she did rape him.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, like, it's not like she had it coming, but, like, kinda.
I mean, we theoretically should put people in jail for raping people, so.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I don't feel bad, and I want to feel bad.
I want to feel bad. Like, I should say I want to feel worse. I want this to wreck me, and it instead made me go, ah, shoot.
Yeah. Like, and if this is a self-insert.
Right.
Jean Reese, like the beginning part at least.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What do you mean you would rape Rochester? What do you mean, girl?
You want? I do think Jean was working through some stuff when she wrote this, and I don't know that maybe it should have been published.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those that you write in a diary and then you throw it in the fire, and then you're like, okay, no, I do actually need to write that book now. You know what I mean?
Like, good first draft, but let's do it good. Let's do it right now.
Like, I love your emo spiral notebook with duct tape on the front. I do. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Shouldn't see the light of day. You know, we all have them. I've still got mine. It won't see the light of day ever.
No.
Thank you.
Nor should it. Almost certainly.
Correct. Mm-mm.
But I guess when you have a reputation... Oh, see, that's the other thing, is that this is her last book. And it's like, she has an established reputation as an author, but also this is the book that truly, like, made her famous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how bad are her other books?
Yeah.
Or like, maybe they're good, and they just didn't get recognition, but, like, if this were the book that I was known for, I might die. You know?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to understand. Like, was she thinking she was being, like, edgy? You know? Or, like, did she think she was doing this with care? Because I know Candace and I talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot remember the name of the book. But there was one that was written from, like, the point of view of... Was it Uncle Tom's Cabin? Where it was, like, written... by like this white person that was like, oh, look, slaves do have it bad, but it's just like horribly racist. I think it is Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah, it is. That is Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah. I feel like I never read Uncle Tom's Cabin. I did.
You don't need to.
Yeah, I do own it because I was like, is this like something I need to do as like a study test? I don't know. So I did buy it. So I have it in case the whim ever crosses me. To be like, okay, let's sit down and read this horrible piece of literature. However, like, is it that kind of thing where she thinks she's like dealing with care?
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, right? Like,
I think that's a very good question. I think that she thinks she's dealing with Bertha with care, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know that she's invested in dealing with the rest of the situation. In the early 19th century Jamaica, Dominica, I don't think that really matters. I think she's fully invested in the Bertha character, and I think she's trying to make her, I don't know, maybe complicated and interesting, but what I think she suffers from a problem that a lot of mid-century white authors have when they try and look at race issues and people of color. Like, she just doesn't have the knowledge, the understanding, and it shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think she's trying to treat Bertha with care, but again, she's doing it in her own way that hasn't aged well.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess if anybody else has, like, better backstories of Bertha prior to me deciding to finally write my own, I guess.
Drop them in the comments.
Drop it in the comments that don't exist on a podcast platform. Send it to me on Instagram. Ooh, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
There we go. But we will catch you. And if there are
really good ones, we should do a reading.
Yeah, if someone's got a really good one. Get back at me. I need to know. I need it in my life. I need justice for Bertha.
Hashtag justice for Bertha.
Yeah. I need someone to not make her a terrible person. Please. My sweet summer child. If someone's got a modern rendition. No, there's no way to do that modern.
Mm-mm.
To be honest. I don't know. I feel like you lose out of it. I just want Bertha to be a bodybuilder. And that's all.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I don't know how you can make that fit in. But it's out there. That's what I need. Thank you.
Manifest it.
Mm-hmm. You don't know this, But I am, the next episodes, we are going to be talking about Wuthering Heights.
Ooh.
So, yeah, make sure to either read it or tune in. We're doing about 5 chapters at a time. So you can enjoy that in 2 weeks. And nice. I am joined by the co-host of In Her Good Books. So we'll catch you all there. Bye, everybody.
Bye.